This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio. This is Dr. Hal Schurz, and along with my co-host, Dr. Michael Karuchik, we come to you every week to discuss the topics that doctors discuss between themselves every day in every healthcare issue imaginable. And we let you in on those private discussions so you'll be armed with the information that you'll need to fight for your healthcare freedom. Our show is sponsored by the Docs for Patient Care Foundation, a non-for-profit tax-deductible organization founded by doctors who are deeply concerned with the direction that healthcare is going in. And we offer solutions very different than those enacted by bureaucrats in Washington who think they know what kind of healthcare you should have, who should deliver it, and where. The foundation fights for your healthcare freedom and the doctor-patient relationship, which is very much in jeopardy right now. So help them. Go to their website, www.docs4patientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org, and contribute generously to allow this great organization to carry on the fight for healthcare freedom on your behalf. We're going to get right into the show because our guest today, Bob Moffitt from the Heritage Foundation, will only be here for our first two segments. Bob is a good friend. He is the former director of the Center for Healthcare Policy Studies at Heritage Foundation in Washington, D.C., and now is a senior fellow there. And Bob has been in the healthcare fight for many, many years. He was instrumental in helping to keep Hillary Care from infecting each and every one of us, but unfortunately, we now have Obamacare to reckon with, and we're going to talk about one of the major issues that isn't a direct Obamacare issue today, but is nonetheless a toxic one that is going to affect each and every American, and that is the implementation of a completely new coding system, the ICD-10 coding system that you've heard about on this show from my co-host, Dr. Michael Karuchik. So, Bob, let me invite you into the doctor's lounge. Good morning.
Thank you for inviting me into the sacred precincts. Here I am.
Well, you know, Bob, we have talked for many years about the healthcare issues, and offline we've talked about this coding issue, and you and I have said that it was not part of the Affordable Care Act, but in researching this, I discovered that it actually is. Interestingly, Section 1104 of the Affordable Care Act requires the adoption of new standards, operating rules, and identifiers in the coming years under a program called Administrative Simplification, which the Secretary of HHS administers. And in order to satisfy these requirements, it was determined that ICD-10 would be the test case for this. So even though ICD-10 was not specifically mentioned in the Affordable Care Act, it was pretty much preordained that this was going to be foisted upon everybody.
Yeah, well, I'm not surprised, because the most important thing to understand about the Affordable Care Act, and if you don't understand this, you don't understand the law, is that the Affordable Care Act is largely a vast transfer of broad regulatory authority to federal agencies and departments, primarily the Secretary of HHS, who I think in the Act is under, in 1,000 specific instances, is given either a direct authorization to do something or is required to do something. It's either may or shall, and that is mentioned 1,000 times in the Act. The administrative simplification provisions that you mentioned were established in the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act of 1996, sometimes referred to as HIPAA. And so basically you're dealing with simply a reinforcement of the broad regulatory authority that already existed there. I think my only point is that the ICD-10 debate has been going on actually for quite some time, and it was established by the World Health Organization, and it's widely used in Europe, but between what the administration, what the Obama administration wants to do, and what exists in Europe is that in Europe it's primarily a mechanism for disease and procedure classification. It does not; it is not necessarily tied to reimbursement, and that is the big, big change, the big difference. And what is going to happen here is a bureaucratic nightmare. And I frankly think the biggest concern that I have is that this is a huge regulatory change that is going to affect all 310 million Americans, and they haven't got a clue that it's coming. And the big problem is that they won't see it directly. They will see it indirectly in very, very big increases, you know, the significant increases in health care costs. I mean, Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Massachusetts last year reported that they were going to be spending an estimated $45 million to incorporate the new code for the Blues system. And in Virginia, there's something called Innova Health System. It's a very sophisticated health program. They're talking about spending $20 or $25 million to comply with the new coding requirements. So that's just two examples. There has not been, to my knowledge, any comprehensive evaluation by the Congressional Budget Office or the General Accounting Office on the entire potential cost of this system.
That's startling, Bob, because if you just look at those numbers, this is a tremendous amount of money that's being
enormous.
It's being spent on non-medical aspects of healthcare, things that it's just basically being flushed down the toilet, because this is money that could be actually used to make people healthier.
Right.
You know, I was reading a in researching for this show, I was trying to find specific examples of what the actual costs for physicians would be. And what the actuarial firm, Nachimson Advisors, ran through scenarios based on three different types of practices.
A
small practice of three doctors, a medium-sized practice of 10 doctors, and then a large practice of 100 doctors. Are you familiar with that study?
I am vaguely familiar with it. One of my colleagues, Dr. John O'Shea, who's a surgeon, has been looking at this, and he told me about it. And my recollection is that for a large practice, you're talking about an increase in their administrative cost by about $3 million.
Yes. And so they calculate what the average cost per physician would be. And it's interesting because in a 3 or 10-person group, the average amount of money, well, it's actually the same regardless. It comes out to about $27,000, $28,000 per physician to implement this. And that's not a one-time cost. This is a recurring cost. But the problem that is so bad about the ICD-10 is not so much what it costs a doctor. It's what it means to the average person who is going to now be taken care of by a doctor who has yet increasing overhead. Can you just cover that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, what happens every time that there is a law or rule or regulation that imposes some kind of a mandate on a doctor's office, or for that matter, any kind of a business, there are two costs that are implied, that are imposed on that. One is the cost of actually complying with the mandate, saying you will have X. And then there's the cost of compliance with it in terms of the internal cost that you have to have. You might have to hire, for example, a new administrative assistant to handle the paperwork as well. Well, those costs do not disappear. Those costs actually are almost invariably transferred or imposed on patients in higher health care costs, either out-of-pocket or premium costs. They do not go away. There is no such thing as the imposition of a cost without a cost shift.
That's right.
And, I mean, no economist in the world thinks that you can impose these mandates which are not passed on to consumers or patients in other ways. The problem is that the general public is unaware of why these things are happening, or they don't understand why, you know, these costs are being passed on to them, because they are not familiar with the internal mechanisms that are imposed on physicians and medical practices, clinics, home health agencies, hospice institutions, the myriad of medical institutions in this country that have to operate under these rules.
So why do you think that this is now upon us?
I think it's now upon us because it's been delayed for years. They've been talking about it for years. The Medicare bureaucracy has been meeting with representatives of industry, hospitals, physicians' organizations, trying to smooth the way for the imposition of the ICD-10 coding system.
Who benefits from this?
Well, I think the big benefit, obviously, is going to large corporations who are going to be responsible for setting up the software and the administrative apparatus. So what you have in this particular case is a classic example of very large institutions or industries, including the health IT industry or the information technology industry, that will benefit by this. And, of course, on the other side, you have medical professionals, doctors, hospitals, clinics in many cases, who are going to have to pay the price. It is, actually, it's interesting. I mean, one way to look at it, I think, frankly, this is the way I look at it, is that the ICD-10 system amounts to an unfunded mandate. In other words, they are imposing a mandate on doctors that is not funded. The doctor, by definition, is going to have to either eat it, which they can't under the current circumstances, or they just simply pass it on to insurance companies or patients and higher out-of-pocket costs or premiums.
So one of the quotes that I found was that if stark regulations, which, we've gone into that in shows before, but if the stark regulations on physicians mean full employment, is the Full Employment Act for lawyers,
and, oh, absolutely.
And HIPAA is the Full Employment Act for consultants, then ICD-10 is the Full Employment Act for coders and for IT developers.
Right, exactly. The information technology business is very, very much in favor of it. Others who are in favor of it are those who I call the preemptive surrender crowd.
What does that mean?
Let me explain. You'll remember that one of the startling facts of World War II was that what was thought to be a militarily powerful country, France, fell to Hitler in 6 weeks. And, you know, there were those in France who argued for a preemptive surrender so that it would make collaboration with the Germans a lot easier later on. So you have this group of K Street lobbyists who simply take the position that all of these things are inevitable. So the idea is, let's go along with it. Let's cut the best deal we can right now. And if we can make a profit, you know, on the sellout, let's do it. And I think, frankly, that's happened. One of the biggest threats to American freedom, in my view, is not just government control of these of large sectors of the economy, but it's also this vicious crony capitalism.
You know what? Let's take a break
right here. Private interests make profits at the expense of the taxpayers.
Bob, we have a hard break, so let's just pick up at crony capitalism when we get back. This is Hal Schurz with my guest Bob Moffitt in the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
In 2009, the membership organization Docs for Patient Care was founded. People all around the country wanted to participate in the efforts of this group, and they wanted to join, but they were unable to do so unless they were physicians. It's for this reason that the Docs for Patient Care Foundation was created. Now, everyone can join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. While you're at your computer, please go to www.docs4patientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docs4patientcarefoundation.org and make a tax-deductible donation and join the fight along with us. Thank you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Doctor's Lounge with my guest, Bob Moffitt. We're talking about ICD-10 today, another unfunded or imposed bureaucratic nightmare on the American public in healthcare. Bob, we were talking about why this is happening. We were talking about crony capitalists. That's where we left off.
Yeah. No, I think that an awful lot of people benefit by the regulatory regime. You mentioned earlier you get a whole parasite industry of consultants, lawyers, and lobbyists who benefit with this vast transfer of authority and power to the bureaucracy because they basically manage it. They hold seminars on it. You pay $400 to go to a seminar on how to comply with the ICD-10. Well, who do you think makes all the money on this? It's just remarkable. But you have this kind of thing happening in Washington almost every week.
Why is this happening?
Frankly, it's a deadweight loss to the healthcare economy because not one red cent of all of this money, as you pointed out earlier, is going into patient care.
Why do we see so much bureaucratic regulation put on physicians, Bob? What do you think?
Well, because I very frankly think that, it is a philosophical conviction on the part of a very large number of politicians, particularly in Congress, who believe that healthcare should be a public utility. It should be either directly run through a single-payer system, or it should be highly regulated through the federal bureaucracy. Because they think that is the best way to deliver care. And then, frankly, in many parts of the world, that is the way care is delivered, through a rather extensive system of central planning. We've always had some of it, since the 60s, in a very significant way. But never until the passage of the Affordable Care Act did we get this level of government intervention into the financing and delivery of medical services. We've never had anything quite like this.
Well, the ICD-10 coding system is a way that this is being really pushed in that direction, because one of the things that people who may be supporting this don't realize is that this is another nail in the coffin to private practice medicine. You said that the groups that were in favor of it were the IT and other crony capitalist
capitalist large medical systems.
Yes. So the thing that people don't realize is that the small practices, the three-person group or the solo practices, they can't absorb any more bureaucracy than they have already, and this is just another nail in the coffin. So we're seeing already the shift of private practices into hospital systems. The hospitals love ICD-10 because this accelerates the migration of physicians into their systems and out of private practice. And the more regulation that they put on doctors, the quicker we will see the demise of private practice medicine in this country.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think the most important thing for our listeners to understand is that there's a whole class of people in Washington in very powerful positions, both in and out of Congress, who precisely want that. This is a very important point that you're raising, because when you look at the rhetoric, right, of the standard politicians, you'll hear things like President Obama, for example, saying, if you like your doctor, you'll be able to keep your doctor, right?
Yes.
Because they understand that among ordinary Americans, there is a profound affection and admiration and respect for the medical profession.
Yes.
And that's a fact. I've seen the survey data. There's no question about it. Americans love their doctors. That's a truth.
Yes.
However, at the same time, when these politicians in Washington are talking about preserving the doctor-patient relationship, they are fundamentally deceiving you, because they have no intention of, you know, preserving or restoring the traditional doctor-patient relationship. What they want is what is actually happening, which is the destruction of private medical practice and the turning physicians, or transforming the medical profession from a profession of independent professionals who will use their judgment, their best judgment in the treatment of patients, into employees of large institutions or third-party payers. That's what they want.
And this is from
I think that ordinary Americans have got to understand this.
And this is from both sides of the aisle. This is not just one political
class. No, it's not. It's both sides of the aisle.
This is the political class in Washington.
It's the political class wants this.
Yes.
And their allies in the health policy community. I'm kind of a minority within a minority. Most of my colleagues in health policy in Washington are pretty far left. And they would like to see the government, you know, basically they would like to see doctors as employees of the government or of highly regulated third-party payers. And, that's where they are. But the fact is that their vision of healthcare is exactly the opposite of what most Americans really want.
That's just astounding that we haven't had this discussion, that this is not something that anybody really, truly is talking about.
I think it's one of the most important issues. Because you raised it earlier, I think the demoralization of the medical profession is one of the most serious, intangible effects of the relentless regulatory regime governs Washington.
Well, are you an optimist or a pessimist?
I'm an optimist.
Okay, so what has to happen?
Well, what has to happen is that we have got to change the fundamental dynamics of healthcare financing. And what that means is, if we want to restore the traditional doctor-patient relationship, which is the goal of the Heritage Foundation, if we want to do that, the only way to do that is to accomplish two things. One is to make sure that doctors are in charge of the delivery of health care, medical services. And two, and this is the hard part and the big part, that patients control the dollars that go into the health care system. That they, and they alone, control the direction of the flow of dollars in this $3 trillion health care system.
So here's the paradox. We need to get to that, but to get to that is a political solution, and the political class don't want to see this. So,
well,
what do we do?
Yeah.
We're caught
between
a hard place, it seems. Like, who can you trust?
Well, I think you can trust those in Congress who are convinced that we do have to change the financing to make it more patient-centered, and that will give, you know, patients control of the dollars and decisions in the healthcare system. And I have friends of mine on Capitol Hill who have been very strongly supportive of that. You have one of the leaders of that positive agenda right here, right there in the state of Georgia.
Yes, we do. Tom
Orthopedic
Price.
Orthopedic surgeon.
Tom Price.
Congressman Tom Price, who is an orthopedic surgeon and is now, thank God, in chairman of the House Budget Committee, yes. One of the most powerful committees of the House of Representatives.
Absolutely. He's been on this show. And
another star in this regard is Congressman Paul Ryan of Wisconsin, whose knowledge and understanding of health policy is frankly prodigious.
And now he's the chairman of the very powerful House Ways and Means Committee. Absolutely. So these
guys understand the economic dynamics of current health policy. They understand the incentives which are driving the system, and they know how to change those incentives to transfer economic power and decision-making back to patients. And that's a key thing, because, frankly, we haven't had much of that in the past.
So, there's so much to talk about, and, Bob, we're going to be coming up to our next hard break, and you'll need to be leaving, I understand. So tell our listeners what they should be doing. You've got 3 minutes. What can they do to push things in the right direction?
Well, obviously, because I'm with a foundation, I can't ask people to lobby, okay? But right. I can say this. Do the very best you can to make sure you are properly informed as to the actual nature of the information, the actual nature of the debate that all of us, all 310 million of us, are now engaged in, because this debate is going to determine the character and quality of American life for many, many, many decades to come.
And the Heritage Foundation does a wonderful job of getting people the information that they need in healthcare. So tell people how they can learn about that.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Just go to heritage.org, and when you get on Heritage, when you get to the website, heritage.org, go and check, go to the issue section and check healthcare. And what you will find is a wealth of information on the Affordable Care Act, on healthcare reform, on Medicare, Medicaid, the state children's health insurance program, the regulation of doctors, hospitals, and clinics, and home health agencies, long-term care, you name it, they've done it. And I will say this, I mean, despite the fact that, we all have very, very strong opinions on a lot of these things, and frankly, we have very strong opinions on these things, I think even some of the strongest critics of the Heritage Foundation would admit that you have a hard time criticizing the quality of the research. It's very well done.
I will be a second to that statement. I think that Heritage Foundation has done a wonderful job, and they've been a great partner to Docs for Patient Care, and we look forward to collaborating with you in the future. Bob, I want to thank you. I wish you could be here for the entire hour, but we really enjoyed having you on for half the show, and I hope that you'll come back and we can talk about some other really interesting and fun things about healthcare in the not-too-distant future.
Doctor, it's a pleasure. I'm happy to accept that invitation. There's so much to talk about, and I can't think of anybody better to talk about that than with you. So,
okay. Well, Bob,
please keep me in mind.
Okay. Bob Moffitt, thank you for joining us in the Doctor's Lounge and America's Web Radio.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your health care freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your health care freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio. This is Dr. Hal Schurz, and in the first half of our show, we had our very special guest from the Heritage Foundation, Dr. Bob Moffitt, who is the former head of the policy, healthcare policy for health for Heritage, now is a senior fellow there, and he is helping to try to push the fight against the implementation of the ICD-10 coding system that is scheduled to go into effect on October 1st. It was delayed from its implementation, which, interestingly, was supposed to be implemented the same day that healthcare.gov was launched. Could you imagine that debacle if both of those had to happen the same day? It would have been, you know, an absolute travesty. But we talked about ICD-10 and what that means. ICD-10 is a new coding system for America. It's not new. It's been out there for over 20 years. The ICD-9 is what we currently use in healthcare, and it is a system where of numerical codes that are attached to certain diagnoses that are in the rest of the world, which is under the World Health Organization. They are, and this stands for the International Classification of Diseases. They use it as a research tool. The United States is a outlier because the government, with Medicare and Medicaid, and the private insurers use the ICD system for reimbursement. So this is a departure from the rest of the world, and so attempts to try to make it more onerous are coupled with changes in how doctors get paid. And so right now, there are somewhere between 16 and 17,000 codes under the ICD-9 system, which is an incredibly large number of codes and cover most diseases and most of the things that physicians see. The ICD-10 takes it to another level of 68,000 billing codes, and the absurdity of some of the codes that are in this new system can't be overemphasized. I'm going to just read off a few of these codes just to have you understand how absurd this really is. Code Z99.89 is dependence on enabling machines and devices, not elsewhere classified. Another code, W61.62XD, struck by a duck, subsequent encounter. Another code, bitten by pig, initial encounter. Another code, swimming pool of prison as the place of occurrence of the external cause of trauma. Another code, Z63.1, problems in relationships with in-laws. Another code, walked into lamppost, subsequent encounter. Here's yet another, burn due to water skis on fire, subsequent encounter. One last one. W61.12XA, struck by macaw, initial encounter. I mean, this is, if this does not impress upon you just the absurdity in the bureaucracy that Washington is trying to impose on physicians, then you're just, you know, not paying attention or you don't care. This is just not something that is going to be, you know, useful in taking care of people. Worse is the fact that it's going to impact every physician in America, because it's going to cost physicians more. The ones who can afford it will pass along the costs to their patients if they can do it. The ones that can't afford it are going to either stop seeing patients or they're going to sell their practices to the hospitals, which are just waiting on the sidelines, eager for those practices to go belly up and absorb them into their huge system. So who do you think is behind the push toward ICD-10 implementation? Well, it's the information technology world, which are making just a fortune off of changing the software involved in this new system. It's coders, the coding industry, which are going to be charging thousands of dollars for courses on compliance for physicians' offices in ICD-10 coding. But it's hospitals. It's hospitals who have deep pockets, who have are trying to become the predominant place of healthcare delivery, and this quite frankly succeeding thanks to the Affordable Care Act, allowing the physicians or allowing the hospitals to purchase physician practices and to make it such that they are the place where healthcare delivery needs to be given, based on the changing reimbursement models that are coming from the Affordable Care Act. And so what we're seeing is the death of private practice in America. And as our guest today, Bob Moffitt, said, there are many people in the policy class and in the political class who want to see this happen. Why do they want to see it happen? Well, unfortunately, it's because of money. The people who are in Washington are dependent on the deep pockets of the insurance industry, of the hospital association, of pharmacy, and they want to see a centralized healthcare delivery model, and the hospitals are the beneficiaries of it. And we've seen Wall Street Journal articles and Time Magazine articles that have come out in the last couple of years, that hospital delivery of health care is the most expensive place to deliver health care. It's the reason why health care costs are soaring through the roof. The Affordable Care Act does nothing to rein in those costs, and quite the contrary, it's making costs, you know, just escalate. And the only reason why people are not seeing these costs directly, in large part, is because they're hidden in the healthcare plans under Obamacare because of subsidies. But those who don't have subsidies, who have private insurance, who have to pay out of pocket, are seeing a tremendous increase in the cost of their healthcare bills. And quite honestly, I have patients who can no longer afford to have elective surgery. They put it off until the very last minute, and then, in doing so, very often problems that could have been taken care of electively and very effectively without very much risk become significant problems and potential emergencies. So what people don't really realize is that every single program that Washington is trying to impose on the physician ultimately comes back to hurt you, the patient. And the only way that we're going to see better health care for all Americans is for Americans to demand it and to make sure that there is less regulation on the physicians, not more regulations, and to have more competition in the marketplace. Last week on Saturday in the Wall Street Journal, there was a wonderful editorial piece about a topic called Certificate of Need. And this is something that is an imposed regulation on physicians that prevent physicians from opening up hospitals to compete against the large hospital systems. And it started out as ostensibly as a way to keep hospitals from going belly up, because if physicians opened up hospitals on every corner and competed against the hospitals, the big hospitals, there would be no place for the sick patients to go. The healthy patients would, what we, as in medicine, we call cherry picking, where they would cherry pick the healthy patients and leave only the sick patients to be taken care of at the hospital centers. And so for fairness, the hospital systems felt that they needed protection to allow them to survive, and hence came what's called Certificate of Need laws. And these have flourished in 35 states now have Certificate of Need laws. In Atlanta, where I live in practice, there are probably four major healthcare systems in our area. And the cost of healthcare at these hospitals is just staggering. If you go in for an emergency room visit, as my daughter did over the Thanksgiving vacation for a problem with a tonsillar abscess, the hospital bill from the emergency room visit was $12,000. Now, you know, insurance will pick up a good part of that, but now people are responsible for a larger part of those healthcare bills. And you know, thank God I work hard and I am able to pay my copay and my deductible, which was not insignificant. It was over $2,500. But imagine somebody who is making $40,000 a year or $50,000 a year and has to pay that. That is just an absolute hardship on those people. And this is happening every single day because the cost of care in hospitals is just through the roof. And the Affordable Care Act does nothing to rein in those costs. And so what we need to see happen is a complete overhaul where people are in charge of their own healthcare bills, and they become consumers, and are able to shop for their insurance, able to shop for their doctors, able to shop for the kind of healthcare that they want and need. And once we have that in place, then we will start to see some semblance of market place economics come into healthcare, and then we'll hopefully see healthcare costs come down. We'll close the show up with talk about the flawed policies of the ACA and who is being hurt in our last segment in the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
In 2009, the membership organization Docs for Patient Care was founded. People all around the country wanted to participate in the efforts of this group, and they wanted to join, but they were unable to do so unless they were physicians. It's for this reason that the Docs for Patient Care Foundation was created. Now, everyone can join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. While you're at your computer, please go to www.docs4patientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docs4patientcarefoundation.org and make a tax-deductible donation and join the fight along with us. Thank you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Doctor's Lounge. This is Dr. Hal Schurz. We're going to wrap up our show today, which has pretty much centered on ICD-10. Our guest, Bob Moffitt from the Heritage Foundation, was with us for the first two segments and unfortunately couldn't stay with us for the entire show. But he really has tried to lead the march against the implementation of the ICD-10 coding, which is scheduled for implementation on October 1st. In talking with Bob about why this is happening, he believes that the political class, in many cases, wants to see more regulation on physicians. But in other cases, and Bob didn't get a chance to really get into this on the show, he believes that, number one, doctors are underrepresented compared to the other lobbying groups, and there's no question that that's true. Doctors have really no representation. People believe that the American Medical Association is the doctor's lobby, and we've spent time on this show in the past debunking that myth. But the other reason why this is a train that is heading down the tracks is because the politicians just don't know, because they have had no engagement from the physician community at large about what the dangers of implementing yet another regulation on the medical community in the form of ICD-10 actually means. And that is something that everybody, hopefully listening to this show, can play a role in doing, in becoming your own lobbyist and advocating with your legislators not to impose this absurd coding system that I spent time in the last segment explaining a little bit about. It is just a regulation that is going to impose more costs on the physician community, which essentially means more costs on you. It's going to drive physicians out of practice. It's going to cause problems with coding nightmares. People are upset right now that their doctors are spending less time with them because of medical records. But right now, what we're going to see is that people are going to spend even less time with you because they're going to be even more absorbed by the new system that they don't understand, and that is screwing up their offices.
Hal, if you don't mind me interrupting,
this is our board operator and station manager, David Moxley,
and just a plain old patient, you know. But let's break it down where the normal individual understands exactly what you're talking about. When you've seen a patient, or when I've gone to see my doctor, and I'm about to leave the examining room, I'm handed a little small stack of paper. It may be a prescription, but also I've got this form that he's checked off or he's circled.
It's called a super bill.
Okay. So what you're talking about And we're going from how many items are on it now?
So everybody, every physician has a super bill, and there are 17,000 codes. Now, most physicians' super bill is streamlined and has, you know, maybe 150 or 200 of the pertinent codes for their specialty on that super bill.
Okay, so as a patient, I understand what you just said. Now, we're looking at 17,000 approximately today with the ICD-9, and you're talking about going to 68,000?
That's exactly right.
This is just mind-boggling. How much time will this add to what you have to do on a daily basis with one patient?
Well, that's a great question, David, and people have looked at that. And so the average is 3 to 5 minutes per patient for just this one bureaucratic change. And there's so much bureaucracy involved in what we do every day that has added more and more time to our day. So what does that mean? It means that we spend less time with you, the patient, because there's only so much time in a day. And if we have to spend right now 10 minutes or 15 minutes because of the electronic medical record, which we've spent time on this show just bashing because it is a system that was imposed on the medical community without really any kind of checks and balances or controls. It's a terrible, terrible system that doesn't help patient care. So if that is responsible for 15 minutes, and now you've got a new coding system that requires another 5 minutes of attention, where does that come from? That time comes from someplace. It comes from you. And so that means that you're either going to get, instead of the 7 minute encounter with us in the room, maybe a 5 minute encounter. This is not good for patient care.
I'm looking at it too from, you have 17,000 items now that you shrink down to the super bill to 100 or 150 items. How many pages is 68,000 going to shrink down to? 300, 400?
Well, I mean, it's you know, really not possible to know exactly what the impact is yet. You know, the all I can tell you is that nobody is prepared for it. That's hyperbole. Very few people are prepared for it. Hospitals are prepared for this because they were ready for it back 2 years ago, and now they're sitting on the sidelines twiddling their thumbs. They've invested the capital to implement this. But physicians' offices, small physician offices, or even some of the large physician offices, they have not spent the money because the amount of money that is required, and we talked about this in the second segment, a 10-doctor office, a typical medium-sized practice, is estimated to need to spend $285,000 to implement this one change. And it doesn't mean better care. In most cases, it's going to mean worse care. And that's really, you know, what it boils down to, and that's Washington. And so, you know, people can get involved. People need to call their elected officials and tell them that this coding system, which is the ICD-10 coding system, should not be implemented on October 1st. That's what you can do. You can just pick up the telephone and call the switchboard in Washington. I wish I had the number on me right now because I'd give it out. But that's something that you can actually do and make a difference about. And the more people hear from you in Washington, the more it will make a difference. And it really does truly make a difference. Take it from somebody who regularly goes to Washington with doctors and talks to congressmen and senators, and we hear from them that when we get you, the listeners out there, the average Americans out there, to do things that we ask you to do, it registers. They log the number of calls coming in, and it really does make an impact. And you can really help yourselves by doing this one thing. Another thing that you can do, and this is something that I am not directly involved in, but I certainly support, there's something called the Conservative Action Project, which was started by Attorney General Edwin Meese, and he, with over 100 CEOs from organizations around the country, have created a leadership project to try to use and encourage Congress to use budget reconciliation to repeal Obamacare. Now, you remember budget reconciliation. That was where they suspended the normal filibuster rules in the Senate to allow certain bills to get through. And that's how they got Obamacare passed in the first place, because when they lost the majority, the filibuster-proof majority in the Senate back in 2010, when Scott Brown became the senator from Massachusetts taking the place of Ted Kennedy, they lost their filibuster-proof majority, and so they used a parlor trick from the legislature called reconciliation to get Obamacare passed. And so they couldn't fill the minority, the Republicans, who only had 41 senators, couldn't use a filibuster to keep it from getting to the floor. Well, they can do the same thing now. Right now, the Republicans do not have a filibuster-proof majority. So anything that they try to do to repeal Obamacare in the Senate won't get through. And so the Senate can do the same thing. They can use reconciliation to get the bill through the Senate because it's passed the House, but it has not passed the Senate. And so they can get it through the Senate and put it on President Obama's desk and force him to have to veto it. And this is something that you should do. You should go to this project. You should find out what you need to do to sign their petition so that they get the Senate to go ahead and use budget reconciliation to repeal Obamacare and pass what has already been passed in the House of Representatives. So it is the Conservative Action Project. And I have the website here. It's CFNPAction.org. So please do that, and let's see if we can get this passed. Well, I hope that you enjoyed the show today. I wish that we had Bob Moffitt on for the entire hour. It would have been tremendously more entertaining than listening to me for two segments. But I hope that this was helpful in learning about ICD-10 and how that will impact your health care and make health care worse and more expensive. Come back to the Doctor's Lounge next week and join my co-host, Dr. Michael Karuchik, and I'll be back with you in 2 weeks with my guests, Dr. John Ammon from Arizona. Thanks for being in the Doctor's Lounge. This is Dr. Hal Schurz.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.